This hour we're talking about disappearing. But what about literally disappearing and becoming invisible? Harry Potter's invisibility cloak is closer to reality than you think. In 2006, researchers at Duke created the first device that could cloak an object in two dimensions. In 2010, in Germany, researchers went one step further and produced a 3D cloak. It was small, very, very small, but it worked. Now, optical physicists at the Imperial College in London have created the blueprints for the perfect hiding place, a hole carved out of space-time. Paul Kinsler, one of the study's authors, explained to Steve Paulson what they did.
There are two types of cloaking device. For the last 5 years or so, people have been very interested in cloaking objects. So if you have something sitting on the table, a cup of coffee, for example, you could place a cloaking device around that and all the light would be bent around your cup of coffee and seamlessly reintegrated on the far side. So no one could see that the cup of coffee was there. The device would make it invisible. What we've done actually is something a little bit different. We've tried to cloak an event. So if someone spilled the coffee, for example, we could put a cloak around that and you would see the coffee beforehand and the coffee cup afterwards, but you wouldn't see the time actually that the coffee was spilled.
Mm-hmm. So how long could you make something disappear?
Well, unfortunately, not very long. What you can do is control very much by the speed of light, which of course is very fast. For example, it takes about 8 minutes for light to get from the sun to the earth. So as a general rule, if I wanted to make an event cloak that cloaked something for 8 minutes, I would need something as big as that distance, as big as the distance from the sun to the earth. So we're not going to be able to cloak 8 minutes, unfortunately, but we could, for example, easily do a microsecond or something, which is a long time to a computer, even if not for us.
Now, let me see if I can understand what you're doing here. It sounds like you're actually creating a void in space-time where there is no light. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, we're creating a dark spot, and the idea is if there's no illumination, there's nothing to light up what happens, and therefore no one will be able to see it.
So you're actually, I mean, it's not just time you're dealing with, and it's not just space. You're dealing with both space and time, and you're creating kind of an empty space in there.
Yeah, that's right. If I go back to the sort of traditional cloaks, if you like, which cloak objects, you can imagine it, for example, like if down a highway, a multi-lane highway with a stream of cars. Okay, the idea of an object cloak is that maybe there's a traffic island or an obstruction on one of the lanes, and the traffic's all steered nice and evenly around the object and joins itself back together afterwards. And once it's done that, there's a nice even flow of traffic again, and no one can tell from the flow of traffic that there was any obstruction there. What we do is a little bit different. We need to control things in time because we want to hide something that occurs at exactly 5 o'clock, for example. So what we need to do, we need to speed some of the light up and slow some of it down. So if I go back to the analogy with a highway, we want to sort of speed the leading cars up and slow the trailing ones down. And of course, that leaves a gap in the traffic, which of course is a gap in the photons that make up the light. So that's our dark spot.
So you're manipulating the light is what you're doing.
We're manipulating the light. We're speeding some of it up and slowing some of it down.
I have to say, this sounds kind of like the Star Trek transporter. You know, those people who go into the transporter room and are beamed down to another planet instantaneously.
Well, it would look a bit like that. For example, when you're cloaked, you could in principle run very far or get into a car and drive if you could make a cloak big enough. And so, an observer would just see you in one place at one moment and another place the next moment. But of course, unfortunately, like in the transporter, you're sort of beamed instantaneously from one place to another. With our cloak, it would look like you'd beamed instantaneously from one place to another, but in fact, you'd have had to do a lot of work in between running to the new location. So it changes the way things appear. It's an illusion. It's not really a transporter.
Yeah. I'm struck by the language that you're using here. I mean, you're talking about a cloak, an invisibility cloak, and of course, this conjures up Harry Potter. Which came first, Harry Potter's invisibility cloak or the scientific efforts to do this?
Well, there are many instances where invisibility has been used in literature over the past centuries. I grew up reading Tolkien's Lord of the Rings, and of course they had a ring in that which made one invisible. Of course, then there's the Star Trek analogy you've already mentioned with the cloaking of starships. So in fiction, it's arrived a lot sooner than it has in science. The scientific attempts were seriously attempted only quite recently, so five years ago or so.
Of course, radio interviewers like me want to consider the imaginative possibilities of this discovery. And I have to ask, if you were a science fiction writer or a fantasy writer, can you imagine an interesting scenario or a plot that would use this invisibility cloak in a way that would be more or less scientifically accurate?
Well, you can make these space-time cloaks directional. So an event is only cloaked to someone standing in front of the cloak. Someone standing behind the cloak, for example, would see the event proceeding normally. So then you could have two observers who are both honest and accurate about the signals coming into them, about what they observe, but they're going to disagree. And of course, that two people disagreeing is about almost anything you like. That's something that could offers rich possibilities, I think, to fiction writers.
So reality is all about perception.
Well, yes, indeed. We only know about what comes in through our senses when it reaches us. We can't really tell what happens over the other side of the room. We have to infer it from the light that reaches our eyes, but almost anything could have happened to the light that reached our eyes before it got to us.
Paul Kinsler is an optical physicist at the Imperial College in London. Steve Paulson spoke with him.